Let the church say amen again. It's a blessing to be here. I want to thank all of you all who, I'm going to ask you to just stand briefly. If you were with us at the community kitchen yesterday, I kind of did a quick head count. I think it was about 20 people there yesterday helping us to serve those who were homeless and kind of down. If you were there yesterday, just stand real briefly. Amen. Thank you for being with us yesterday. And they also asked us, I talked to the person who's like leading that program, Minister Terman and Minister Bray and myself, I guess. They asked us, various churches come there on different Sundays throughout the month to give a worship service from 8:30 to 9:30. And they're trying to get solicit more churches. They don't have anyone for the first Sunday. So I said, well, I'll pray about it and we'll see. And maybe we might do it every other Sunday or something like that. But it's a great opportunity. And any of you all are welcome to come if we do begin to do that, to go down and have church down at the community kitchen on the first Sunday of the month from 8:30 to 9:30. What a great way to get outside of these four walls and take the church to people. Let me say that one more time. What a great opportunity to get outside of these four walls and take the church to people. Many churches do that with assisted living homes and also the prison. So I think that would be a great outreach, a great ministry if we're able to do that. And I don't see why we should not be able to do that. Stand on your feet if you can, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 5. But, of course, it's also in your bulletin, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 1 and 2 and then also verse 4. That's our anchor verse this morning is verse 4. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and also verse 4. Verse 1 and verse 2 reads, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. My topic this morning, easy subject to remember. The only way to true comfort. Jesus is the only way to true comfort. Jesus is the only way to true comfort. You may be seated. Jesus Christ, he's the only way to true comfort. He's the only way to true comfort. Comfort. You know, oftentimes people look for comfort in all the wrong places. Some people look for comfort in other people. And how many of y'all know that people will let you down? Some look for comfort in their various hobbies. But sometimes your hobbies, although many of them are in a proper context, are okay, but sometimes those hobbies don't bring you the comfort that you desire. Some people look for comfort in a television show. How many of y'all know that television show can get canceled? Some people look for comfort in their favorite sports team. We got March Madness going on now, basketball. I like college basketball. And if you are a UT fan, a volunteer fan, they lost yesterday by 1 point. So your sports team can't bring you lasting comfort. They're going to lose sometime. On a more serious note, some people look for comfort in drugs and alcohol. Others look for comfort in illicit sex, like premarital sex or adultery or pornography or homosexuality. People look for comfort in all the wrong places. But this morning, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only way to true comfort is only in Jesus himself. Do you want to find some comfort this morning? I don't know about you, but I need some comfort this morning. I need comfort each and every day. Let's look at this word and give a workable definition of the word mourning. Very simple word. To mourn means to feel or express grief or sorrow. So blessed are those who feel or express grief or sorrow. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we're going to first look at mourning in two types of ways. First of all, we're going to look at mourning as a mourning over sin in your life. A mourning or a grieving over sin in your life. And then we're going to look at just mourning over things like a sick loved one or financial issues or something like that. So we're going to look at mourning from two different perspectives this morning. All of us in here have experienced some moments of mourning or grief this morning. All of us have. Jesus is the only one who can comfort you once again during these mourning times. times. Maybe you have mourned over a loved one who is ill. Maybe you have mourned over a child that's playing the prodigal child. Maybe you have mourned when you went and got that dismal medical report. Maybe you have mourned when you called the bank to check that account and it wasn't too good. There are many different things we can mourn on. But first, once again, we're going to talk about mourning over sin in our life. You know, you should be tired of being stuck on stupid by now. You should be tired of being stuck on stupid by now. You should be tired of committing the same sin after sin after sin after sin, especially the same old sin. You should be tired of that by now. You should have some brokenness over that sin by now. Matter of fact, this is a pretty bold prayer, but ask God, say, God, let me be broken over this sin or those sins that I commit. Let me experience a godly sorrow, a deep regret over the sin that so easily entangles me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. If you're taking notes, you might want to write that down and read it later as a reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Let me say that again. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So you're either going to have godly sorrow or sorrow from the world, which produces death. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, the first part, Brother Thomas says, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So it's a godly sorrow. It's a deep type of sorrow that leads to salvation, that leads to deliverance. When was the last time you mourned over sin in your life? When was the last time you wept, cried over sin in your life? If you have wept over sin in your life, you have experienced this type of mourning that the text is talking about this morning. Last week I mentioned the tax gatherer who stood afar off from Christ and beat his chest and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the type of mourning that the text is talking about. The thief on the cross, two of them were up there, but eventually one of them recognized himself as a sinner. The thief on the cross turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's the type of mourning I'm talking about this morning, the mourning that leads to repentance, that leads to salvation. If you're an authentic follower of Christ, you got to mourn over sin. As a Christian, as you and I track with God, you begin to hate sin. Hate sin in your own life, as well as in the life of others. You get a distaste, a disdain for sin as you grow and mature in Christ. So again, this morning, the only way to true comfort is to first yield to the Holy Spirit, who is convicting your heart, even right now, of sin. And turn to the only one who can cure you of sin sickness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are broken over sin, for I will bring them comfort. Jesus said, I will comfort you. Again, if you're grieving over someone that's sick or grieving over someone that kind of life is not going right for them, whatever it might be, if you're grieving this morning, if you're mourning this morning over sin or some other issue, Jesus said, I will give you rest. Matter of fact, he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the only one that can give us lasting rest. I said, he's the only one that can give us lasting rest. So if you have been broken over sin in your life, you ought to praise him even right now. You ought to say, God, thank you for showing me myself as a sinner. Thank you for showing me that I had room to improve. Thank you that you showed me that I was missing the mark. It's a blessing to be broken over sin. Matter of fact, I often question a person. I mean, I don't know a person's heart perfectly like God does, but I question a person who say they are a sin, who say they are a Christian, rather, and can sin and not feel any remorse. Just like, I messed up. That's just how we all human. Y'all heard this before. We all human. Everybody gonna mess up. Yeah. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as a Christian, when you sin, you can't just go along like the world used to. Matter of fact, if you can go back to your BC days or before Christ days, you were maybe sin and do whatever our brother and sister Howard, and just no big thing. You're just doing your own thing. But now as a Christian, when you sin, there is some godly sorrow that comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit, that's one of the things he does. He convicts us of sin. He leads us into all truths. He also comforts us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. you know, there are a lot of things that we could mourn over, things in the world, for instance, like the ills of society, things like these shootings in our churches, things like these shootings at our schools. Even yesterday, as I was at the community kitchen, and you interact with certain people, many of them were homeless. That should call a type of mourning in your deep down in your soul, a type of grieving deep down in your soul. And you know, people are homeless, nowhere to stay and hardly anything to eat. That should call some mourning this morning. But once again, when you and I mourn, we can turn to Christ. We can turn to God, and he will give us some comfort. I say he will give us some comfort. Let me say that one more time. He will give us some comfort. If you're mourning this morning, this AM, if you are mourning, you know that you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can and he will give you some comfort. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot bear. You can bring all of your cares, all of your concerns, all of your issues to him because he cares for you. Some of y'all caught it. That's a good place to say amen. I can bring all of my cares to him because he cares for me. So if you got an issue with him or her, bring him to Jesus. If you got issues with a certain situation in your life that's causing some grief, bring it to Jesus. Matter of fact, you know, one time Jesus had given the disciples the power to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And they went out and they were doing healings. And they ran into one little young lad who often fell into the water and fell into the fire. And his father was like, he is demonically possessed. Cast out the demon. And the disciples could not do it. And so they saw Jesus and they were telling Jesus about it. Jesus would bring him to me. And of course, they brought the young lad to Jesus and Jesus cast out the demon. So Jesus said, bring all of your cares to me and I can take care of it. You know, money can't take care of it. Your husband or wife can't take care of it. The person down the street can't take care of it. Drugs and alcohol can't take care of it. Illicit sex can't take care of it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of that deep hunger, that deep grieving, that deep mourning. Only the Lord can take care of it. All other things is just a fake substitute. So Jesus said, whatever you're dealing with, bring it to me. Blessed are you if you mourn, for you shall be comforted. So whatever that thing is you're dealing with, whatever job situation you're dealing with, you know, Monday morning is coming, whatever you're dealing with on your job, take it to Jesus and he can help you to resolve that issue. The way to true comfort is to recognize your helplessness and your hopelessness without the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to true comfort is to recognize your hopelessness and your helplessness without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only answer to true comfort, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to take us to a quick example of a brokenness over sin, a mourning over sin that leads to repentance, that leads to salvation. We're familiar with this biblical account, so you might want to turn there in your Bibles to Psalms 51. Psalms 51, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, but we'll look at verses 1 through 3. I'm there already. See, I had a bookmark in there, so I'm there already. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read verse 4 also. This is, of course, the background of this. This is when David, King David, who was a man after God's own heart, King David, in the times when kings went out to war, King David was taking it easy and relaxing, and he looked out and saw this beautiful lady by the name of Bathsheba. The Bible says she was taking a bath, and he saw her, and he desired to have her sexually. And he sent for her since he was the king, even though she was married. And he had sex with her and she was pregnant. And so he tried to devise a plan to call the husband home from the battlefield and try to get him to sleep with his wife. And that way he would think he was the father of the child, but he didn't do it. He was like, no, I can't do that. And people out there fighting and battling. So eventually David basically had the man killed. So here is David hiding his sin. He went months trying to hide this sin until Nathan the prophet was sent to him. So here where we are this morning with that backdrop, David hiding sin. Once again, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. Verse 1 of Psalms 51 says, have mercy. This is David praying. Have mercy to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That sounds like somebody crying out, mourning over sin in their life. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. against you, talking about God, against you, dear God, against you and you alone, against thee and thee alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. God is always just when he speaks. He's always blameless when he judges. He never judges incorrectly. He's not a corrupt judge. He is righteous in everything that he does. And so David says, I've messed up. So what should you do? What should I do when I mess up? What should you do when you've blown it? You know, you should know the answer to these two questions by now. You should know the answer when you've blown it. You need to run to the cross. You need to run to Jesus. Sprint to him. Confess your sin. Repent. Turn and go in a different direction. Don't keep going down the wrong road. Go in a different direction. When you and I blow it, we need to confess our sins before God. We need to repent of our sins. Remember, godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. This is, of course, for the person who is unsaved, but it's also for the saved person as well. As a Christian, we sin comes into our life. Sin, you're not always walking close to the Jesus. You're not always walking close to the Lord. Don't be looking at me blank and funny. You're not always walking close to the Lord. We're not always walking close to Jesus. We should be, but not always. So when we get off track a little bit, we need to quickly return. Say, Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was saying. I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know why I'm thinking this in my heart and mind. Please forgive me. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted, Sister Roxy. They shall be comforted. So when you and I are going in the wrong direction, quickly turn and go in the right direction. Don't keep going down that same old road. So today, and actually for the next two Sundays, today and next Sunday, I'm going to look at the life of David. We're going to look at Psalms 51 as we talk about this brokenness over sin in our life. We're going to look at the rest of this psalm next week. So David starts out by saying, wash me, O God. Have mercy on me. It's okay to cry to God for mercy. It's okay to cry out to God for mercy. He has it. It's one of his attributes. It's one of the characteristics. It's in his DNA, if you will. God is a merciful God. I said, God is a merciful God. Amen. That is a good place to say amen. Good place to clap. God is a merciful. He's not some evil deity up in heaven just watching when we mess up one time and just zap us with lightning. If that was the case, none of us would be here this morning. Let me say that again. If that was the case, none of us would be here this morning. But he's a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. The prophet Jeremiah says in Lamentations, he said, great is thy faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. So this morning when I got up, saints, I had some Sunday morning mercies. If I'm blessed to see tomorrow, I got some Monday morning mercies. If I'm blessed to see Tuesday, I got some Tuesday mercies. If I'm blessed to see Wednesday, I got some Wednesday mercies. If I'm blessed to see Thursday, I got some Thursday mercies. If I'm blessed to see Friday, I got some Friday mercies. If I'm blessed to see Saturday, I got some Saturday mercies. And here I am back around this Sunday. If I'm blessed to see next Sunday, I got some Sunday mercies. We have mercy for every situation. Even when you have death in the family. Like I said, my Uncle Bill died. And so I got some mercies to deal with that situation. Especially since I'm not really sure if he's headed to heaven or in hell. I don't know. But God gives me mercy to deal with that situation. He gives you mercy to deal with your various situations. He has mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's a merciful God. He's also a God of wrath as well. He has many attributes, but I thank God that he's a God of grace and mercy. The psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We got mercy. We got mercy. He shows us mercy each and every day. Psalms 51 is referring to sin. As I said earlier, it's referring to mourning over sin. But again, our Lord will comfort you when you mourn over any type of situation. He will have mercy on you. Aren't you glad about that? I said, aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that, that he gives us mercy? Verse 1 again lets us know that God has a multitude of tender mercies. Verse 1 says, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Blot out those things. Blot out my transgressions. Let me give you a quick definition of transgression, iniquity, and sin. He uses these words throughout these first three verses. David does, as the Holy Spirit directed him and told him what to write. Transgression All of these are types of sins, but they're slightly different. Transgression means to go beyond, to go over, to overstep the prescribed limits. Transgression. Let me read it again. To go beyond, to go over, to overstep the prescribed limits. That's transgression. You get outside of the boundaries, you get outside of the line. Iniquity. Iniquity means wickedness, lawlessness, and unrighteousness. Iniquity. Iniquity means wickedness, lawlessness, and unrighteousness. Iniquity, once again, means wickedness, lawlessness, and unrighteousness. Sin, most of you all probably know this. It simply means to miss the mark. It's kind of an archery type of term. You know, if you had a bullseye and you're throwing darts or shooting an arrow, you try to hit the bullseye. Sin means to miss the mark. It means you or I have messed up. We've blown it, Sister Rachel. We've messed up. We've blown it. So transgressions, iniquity, and sin. He uses those words throughout this psalm. So Psalms 1, he says, I've messed up. Blot out my transgression. Blot out those times when I go beyond the limit, when I step over that line. He said, do not cross, do not enter. And I enter anyway. I cross over anyway. Blot those things out. Forgive me for my transgressions, which are many. You know, as an authentic follower of Christ, you begin to realize that he is an awesome and a gracious God. You know, his mercy, once again, is bountiful. But listen, I'm going to caution you to this. That doesn't mean you or I should live a sloppy life. I hear people say crazy, foolish stuff like, well, you know, God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. So I'm going to go on and mess up and sin. Then I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. One person told a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, said they had a friend who always talked about, that's what 1 John 1:9 is for. You know, when you go and sin and then you ask for forgiveness. No, that's not a repentant heart. That's not a merciful heart. That's not a repentant heart. That's not a grieving heart. As a Christian, it should break your heart when you, definitely when you presumably and when you purposely go sin. Lord, what was I thinking? Why did I eat that last piece of cake? I know that was gluttony. I told you all last week, I asked God to show me some stuff in my life, and he began to show me that I still had profanity in my heart and mind, even though I haven't, by God's grace, haven't said a profane word in like 25 years. But God began to show me that, hey, I curse in my mind. That grieved my heart. I said, God, take that away from me. If lusting is an issue for you, yeah, you may not have gone out and committed a sexual sin, but if lusting is an issue for you, say, Lord, take that lust away from me. If pride is an issue for you, say, God, crush that pride. The last fellow in the Bible who was real prideful, he got kicked out of heaven. His name was Lucifer, and he became the devil. He became Satan. So God, crush that pride in my life. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. Jesus Christ is the only way to true comfort. Brother Michael, he's the only way to true comfort. So God has mercy on me for that particular sin. And be specific. When you're praying, don't just throw a blanket out there. God, forgive me for my sin. If you know you lied, say, God, forgive me for telling that lie. Be specific. Purposely and fervently pursue holiness. Pursue Christ-likeness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, Lord, God is a merciful God. He often has mercy on us when we don't. Matter of fact, mercy means God not giving us what we do deserve. That's what mercy means. God not giving us what we do deserve. I'm not going to hell because God has not given me what I justly deserve. If you're in Christ, you too. You're not going to hell because God did not give you what you justly deserve. That's an example of God's mercy. Him not giving us what we did deserve or what we do deserve. You know, grace is similar. Grace is God giving us some stuff we don't deserve. When you and I woke up this morning, guess what? That was God's grace. We didn't deserve to wake up this morning. When God put food on the table, guess what? That was God's grace. When he put clothes on our backs, Minister Terman prayed about it earlier. When he put clothes on our backs, that's God's grace and mercy. When he allowed us to get here safely, that's God's grace and mercy. Just the other day, I was reminded. Matter of fact, I was driving on the highway. I was praying with my mother on the highway. I was praying, and this car literally just ran me over almost. You know how a car, when you're in a lane, and you're going, and a car comes over, like, adjacent to you, and somehow, I guess they just don't see it. It just keep coming on over your lane. And you can't go left, because somebody's over there. So all you can do is pray, or hit your brakes, or speed up, one of the two, or all of the above. So just this past week, I was thankful for God's traveling mercies, brother and sister Sermon. I could have easily been in an accident. God's grace and mercy is always available to us. Once again, transgressions, iniquity, and sin are mentioned throughout this particular psalm. Also in verse 2, I won't hold you long this morning. Verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Wash me from my wickedness. Wash me from my unrighteousness. Wash me from my lawlessness. See, if we're really honest with ourselves, saints, even once again as a Christ follower, even once again as a born again believer, when we look into the mirror, I know when I look in the mirror, I don't always like what I see inwardly. So that's why I say, God, wash me from my wickedness. Wash me from my iniquity. Wash me from my lawlessness. Once again, first you got to admit that there's some wickedness in you. First, you got to admit that old man, if you're in Christ, let old things have passed away, new things have come. But that old man, how many of you know that old self raises up his ugly head every now and then? He raises that head up every now and then. Whatever your issues were back then, even in Christ, he still tried to raise up his ugly head. If you had a problem holding, controlling your temper, oftentimes it might try to flare up. Whatever it is, whatever it was, he tried to raise up his ugly head. Matter of fact, Prophet Jeremiah said it this way, Jeremiah 17:9 said, human heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Let me say it again. Jeremiah 17:9 said, human heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. That's why we had to get a new heart. That's why we had to be born again. That's why every day we got to slay the old man. That's why every day we got to say, Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, don't let me be conformed to this world, but let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's why every day you got to quote the word of God to yourself. Got to say, hey, I'm in Christ. I'm not in that old person anymore. He who has begun a good work in me, he can complete it. You got to say these types of things to yourself. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. So the psalmist cries out, and you should be crying out too. Wash me, O Lord. Wash me. Please wash me from my wickedness. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Cleanse me from my sin. We can still use that word in the Christian church. I'm going to keep using it here in Love Fellowship. Make a deal with you. If you stop sinning, if I stop sinning, I'll stop using the word. I think I'm going to still be using the word, Brother Steve. I'm going to still be using that word. It's okay to use that word, S-I-N, sin. Once again, blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. Christ said, I got comfort for you. I can cleanse you from your sin. I can deliver you from your sin. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And you ought to thank him that he is doing it. He cleanses us. He washes us. He renews our heart and mind. He works on us. He provides divine surgery on us. When he sees hatred, he can take it out and put it in love. When he sees a lack of joy and peace, he can take that out and put in joy and peace. When he sees impatience, he can take that out and put in patience. When he sees a lack of kindness, he can take that out and put in kindness. When he sees that we're not gentle, he can take that out and put in gentleness. When he sees we don't have any control, he can take that out and put in self-control. That's just a fruit of the Spirit. That's just a fruit of the Spirit. He can do that, and we can't do it ourselves. Jesus, he's the one who takes care of our sin, past, present, and future. He is a propitiation for our sin. He is a satisfactory offering for our sins. He is the atonement, our payment for our sin sickness. That's why Jesus said, blessed are you. If you mourn over sin in your life, blessed are you, for you shall be comforted. You shall be comforted. Blessed are they who mourn, and they shall be comforted. Verse 3, look at verse 3 of Psalms 51. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. You know, transgressions, when you go beyond the limit, you go beyond where you should be going. And my sin is always before me. He said, I acknowledge my sin. I confess it. I came clean. I agree with God. That's what confession really means. It means to agree with God. So when you use 1 John 1:9, say, Lord, I confess my sin. I agree before you, dear God, that I did sin. As you and I do that, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm glad we have a God who can cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So some stuff I've done in my past that I'm not too proud of, but I'm glad God can come alongside me, Brother Chris, and cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. He's a cleaning up type of guy. See, when you witnessing to people, they say crazy stuff like, oh, a preacher, a Christian, I'm going to get myself right. As soon as I get right, I'm going to come down to that church. How is that going for you? How is that happening for you? You can't clean up yourself. God is a great cleaner upper. Jesus is a great cleaner upper. You come just as you are and say, here I am, sinking deep in sin, far from the shores removed. I come and ask you, Lord, deliver me. See, it's Christ, the solid rock that we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's only Christ that can pull you up out of that muck and mire. I remember when I think back to my days when I was walking without the Lord several times, because I grew up in the church, several times I wanted to clean myself up. Several times I said prayers like this, Lord, I'm going to do better. And I would do better too for about a week or two. And I'll be back doing the same old stuff again. It wasn't until I cried out and said, God, you got to clean me up. You got to wash me. You got to deliver me. You got to take this stuff from me. I can't do it on myself. I can't do it on my own. You got to do it, dear Lord. You're teaching me how to mourn and weep over sin. And you're giving me some of your comfort. It's like a weight of 500 pounds of bricks got lifted off me when God brought me out from under all that sin. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, but they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. See, David, don't wait as long as David did. David waited, most theologians surmise it must have been almost about a year or so. We don't know exactly, but David waited several months trying to cover up this sin of adultery and murder. How you gonna cover that up? Because you all know what happened with pregnancy. Pretty soon you're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You can't cover that up. You can't cover that up. David was trying to cover it up, but he couldn't cover it up, though. The Bible tells us, beloved, what you do in the dark will come to the light. We reap what you sow. Ariana used to have a teacher in the first grade. She would say this to a little first grader. Your sins will find you out. Scared the little first graders to death. But that's a true statement, though. Your sins will find you out. Listen to this. The follower of Christ will be ineffective serving him until he or she comes clean with that unconfessed sin in their life. You're going to be ineffective serving God until you come clean with that known sin in your life. So listen to this. You might want to write this down. Unconfessed sin will not only find you out, but it will also wear you out. Let me say that again. Unconfessed sin. I'm talking to the Christian now. Unconfessed sin will not only wear you out. I'm sorry. Will not only find you out, but it also will wear you out. For the believer. We can't just do any kind of thing. We can't just think any kind of thoughts and not be convicted by it. But Jesus said, blessed are you when you mourn over sin, for you shall be comforted. He will give you and me comfort. 1 John 1:9 once again tells us we just confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. A broken heart over sin, a contrite spirit, God will not despise. He will not reject you or me when we come to him with a brokenness over the sin that's in our life. He won't say, well, no, you did that one too many times. No, I'm not going to forgive you. You just messed up. Just go on a different direction. No, God said he will forgive us. If you come with a contrite and a broken heart, a broken spirit over the sin in your life, God will forgive you. It's kind of like we were talking about as we were doing our introductory marital class this morning. Came up in our class talking about how if you just confess stuff and just say, I'm sorry, but then turn around and do the same thing over and over and over again, you weren't really sorry. You weren't really sorry. You keep stepping on my foot and say, I'm sorry. And you step on my foot again and say, I'm sorry. Now, you're not really sorry. So it is with the Christian. We can't just be habitual. Say, all right, Lord, I did that. I went off the last. I'm not going to go off again. Now I said, Lord, control my tongue. Control my mind. Control my thoughts. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go back down that road. Blessed are those that mourn, especially mourning over sin. But once again, it could be mourning over anything. Maybe not necessarily something sinful. It could be mourning over bad medical report. It could be mourning over an aging parent or grandparent who is suffering mentally and or physically. It could be mourning over a child that's kind of grown wayward and playing the prodigal. It could be mourning over a spouse that's going through some issues. It can be mourning over many things. But Jesus said, blessed are those of you who mourn, for I will give you comfort. They shall receive comfort. My main thrust this morning, though, was talking about mourning over sin. But the secondary application, they'd be mourning over anything. So here it is, saints, in a nutshell, and I'm about to let you go. If you mourn, Jesus said, turn to him and he will comfort you. So run to him for comfort. Run to him for forgiveness. Run to him for acceptance. Run to him for peace. Run to him for joy. Run to him for a deep, abiding happiness. Run to him for a blessedness. Remember last week, blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So when you run to Jesus, well, whatever your situation is, be it something just with a regular person or something going on in society or something, a sin in your life, run to him and he can and he will comfort you. That's a promise. That's a promise. Jesus said, run to him and he will comfort you. So if you need to be comforted this morning, and we all do, simply run to Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are those who mourn. A deep abiding happiness. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let us pray.